going to call to order the March 27th, 2018 Prudential Committee of the Kootenai Fire District to order. Could I have introductions, please?
Ray Perrone, Treasurer.
Lisa Mycock-Kelly, Prudential.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Stan Goldstein, Prudential.
Jolly, Clerk.
And could we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Mr. Treasurer, you wanted to discuss a bond with us?
Yes, in accordance with the F-18 budget, we have set aside money to pay down the existing $346,000 short-term bond note that we issued last year. So with the committee's approval, I will retire the $346,000 and issue a new note for $379,000, which I have reflected in the proposed 19 budget to be retired.
And what's the increase between the 46 and 79?
The original budget, the original note was $346,000. We're going to retire that and issue a new one for $179,000, paying down, in essence, $178,000 in accordance with the budget.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you.
You misspoke.
Okay. So,
I like that math better.
Yeah, me too. So, do we need a motion for that?
It would be nice.
So, I'll make a motion that we retire the $346,000 short-term note and authorize the treasurer to
issue
another note for $179,000.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second item, I guess, is mine as well. I'd like to propose that we hire Melissa Abrams as the assistant treasurer position in light of the retirement of Tony Chan.
I make a motion to hire Melissa. Is there a second?
No second.
Is there any discussion?
Yeah, there is. Are we going to have enough? I think the hiring of the new assistant treasurer may have been delayed longer than we thought. Is there going to be enough overlap between Tony and the new person that up to speed?
Good question. Yes, I've talked with Tony, and we will make that accommodation.
When will Melissa be able to start?
Undefined until we make the final offer.
Okay.
So, it's a motion on the floor. All in favor of hiring Melissa Abrams?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Next item is mine as well, I guess. I'd like to talk about the F-19 budget, and I'd like to start on page 3 and go through the functional areas and then come back to the summary. Get my magical mouse so I can lead the parade here. The reserve fund is set forth in page 3. Again, I would point out that I haven't listed a draft on all the pages, but as you can tell from the proposed 19 budget, this is an initial draft of that budget. So on page 3, we talk about the reserve fund. This is the fund that we set aside each year enable the Prudential Committee to address unexpected needs that occur during the year. If it isn't used, as you can see in the past, it is returned to free cash. The last time it was used, as you can see from the schedule, was F-16. So this is, it's a safeguard to ensure good financial management during the year. Turning to the next page, which is the finance department. The headline here in this functional area is added hours for the assistant treasurer, some added borrowing costs, as I've looked at the articles that the various areas require, and then an insurance increase. Looking at the wages, we'll be bringing the new assistant treasurer on, and we want to increase the hours from 18 that the current individual works to 24. And I think this is both necessary to meet the current workload, which has increased, and also to be enable me to reduce some of my hours so that we can keep the cost down. We have reduced the hours for the PC staff that somewhat offset that, but there overall it's an 11% increase in wages, primarily due to increased hours for the assistant treasurer.
Question. Earlier, a couple of meetings earlier, I questioned the increase to 24 hours, and that would require, my understanding from working with the library, that would require benefits.
Yes.
Okay, because the perception of the PC was that it was 30 hours, and I said, no, it's 20, right?
You're absolutely correct. It is 20 hours, and we anticipate that the new individual will avail themselves of health insurance.
So not only are we increasing, getting an increase in salary, but there'll be an increase in benefits too.
That's correct.
If she opts to.
If she accepts, yes.
Excuse me. Okay.
I would say though that of the three candidates, even taking that into account, it would probably be the second less expensive individual. The operating expenses, we have an increase in the audit fee, 2.5%, which is what I would consider normal in the audit area. We have an increase in bond fees because I anticipate more bond issues this year than we did last year. Actually, we just finished the only bond issue that we'll be doing in 18. So I anticipate an increase in that area. The IT costs have increased slightly. It's made up of VADAR, approximately $5,000 annual licensing fee, and approximately $1,000 for secure networks, which is an enhancement of our ability to back up our files and work remotely if necessary. And also brings us really up to date technologically in that area. The insurance costs, we don't have quotes, but in my discussions with the agents, they're anticipating a 6% increase. That was before the March storms. Hopefully they'll stay, particularly in the property area, at 6%. So overall, the department is going up 3.5%. I can have a moment to grab my glasses so I can see what I'm doing here.
So
3.55.
And workman's comp is going up also?
Workers' comp is going up as well, yes.
Okay.
6%. They anticipated 6% in all of our coverages.
Okay. Workers' comp is more based on salary than actual an increase in the coverage. So unless they've changed the rate for that particular class, like clerical, we probably won't see quite a 6%. We are going to be increasing our salary slightly because the new treasurer will have additional hours, but may not be that's what it's going to be based on.
It's based on the hours.
Hours
and salary, basically, yeah. Moving to the fire department, the headline here is it's basically a level funded budget. But unfortunately, there was a clerical error in the aggregation of the F-18 budget, which understated salaries by a significant amount. Once you take that into account, what's showing up above as a 12% interest, a 12% increase, is really only a 3.1% increase in the staff salary line. And that is the contractual plus 1.5% and the increase in steps and grades.
Since we made an error, decimal error, in the FY18 budget, where do we get the money to cover that error?
Efficiencies that the fire department has implemented. I believe that we will end up in the salary line without having need to use the reserve fund, and it's primarily because of the overtime efficiencies that the fire department has implemented.
Paul, do you have any comments, or?
So the primary reason we're able to make it by with $69,000 less than we're supposed to have is we had a healthy department. There was low sick time usage. Thank God, knock on wood, no one's gotten hurt this year. Those accounts have been what's covered us. So, and we also haven't had any big hurricanes. These last couple storms kind of are pushing the envelope a little bit, but right now we're forecast to make it through with a little bit of a cushion. So,
you also turned back $50,000 that you didn't need for 263, correct?
We did, correct. Yep.
Thank you. I was going to ask the same thing. What were the efficiencies?
It was primarily that, you know, we budget for expected injuries and sick time, and we were very fortunate this year. Everybody's been very healthy, so.
Good.
Great.
Good.
Thanks.
On the operational side, there are some increases, but they are really limited to inflation and some technological changes. If you look at radios are getting more expensive to replace as you get into the newer technology. So we've had a slight increase there, slight dollars, but it shows up as a 25% increase. In the legal area, we just have to contend with all of the interactions and involvement of the legal staff working with the state AG and Secretary of State offices. So that's actually just a running rate. Capturing that running rate. Training and education, although it shows a large increase, is really a consolidation of the 12,000 full-time training up above and the 10,000 there, so it's basically no increase. There was an increase in IT, and that is due again to secure networks, but it is not an inflationary increase. It is really a step up in capability for the fire department in terms of their own internal systems and for backup.
I have a question on the professional services. So I think, or the legal services, pardon me. I think what you're saying is this year we had roughly $20,000 in unanticipated legal expenses. So
yes.
Going forward, you're saying that you're just going to...
Just have to provide for it.
Okay.
And if I may, you've reached the figure of 35 based on what had happened for an actual fiscal year 16 and then the move to 17.
Yeah, yeah, just doing the trend and where we're going to go so that we're protected.
What page are you on? Six,
the big story with the fire department is the capital needs. I apologize, I didn't pick up mechanically on this page the total for capital outlay. So these percentages are right here. This is the 290. That that percentage below is the correct percentage that should be up there. And, oops, it's not going to let me do it. 290 is the increase from 55,000 to 215 in the capital area. So there's a glitch in my my system on picking up those percentages. Okay. But the dollars, the roof replacement, 55,000, normal process of aging. I don't know when the last time that roof was replaced, but it's obviously in need of replacement. So we have scheduled that. The parking lot is really two issues. It's one, putting pavement down over what you now see as gravel, but also because we're doing that, we have run into a code issue where we have to upgrade the handicap parking. Because of the pitch of the parking lot, we have to make it more level, and we also have to change the ramp. And those two issues drive that cost up more than what you would normally expect for paving a parking lot the size that we have.
Question for the chief. So in order to meet the handicap requirements, is there any space in the street between the parking lot driveway and the three bays kind of thing where you make
We actually looked at that. We actually had Silvio help us out. He's a registered engineer, civil engineer. What we looked at is the existing space we have. I think it's 8% cross grade now. I think the max is a 2% cross grade. So if we drop one site 8 inches and raise the other 2 inches, we will meet the cross grade. The ramp in front of it, the concrete walkway, needs to get jackhammered and replaced. So we actually only budgeted $4,000. So we're looking at about $4,000 to meet that need. The actual bid for the parking lot itself without any handicap issues was $36,000 and change. So.
Sorry, go ahead.
We also looked at the street and put parking out there. They would be in the street, which is not the ideal place. We would also have to still do the change of the ramp. So it really didn't make any financial benefit to put someone in the street.
Just one question about the paving. Was the paving originally included in the septic system placement, and then it somehow we didn't have enough money, or?
I believe the answer is yes. I don't know how they came up with that number to the 55,000. We actually cut significant costs out of the septic system. There was supposed to be a tight tank system in there. We cut that out, so we dropped our septic price significantly. But after paying for the septic and getting rid of the propane tank, we ended up, I think, with under $10,000 left in the account. And the driveway is 36, so we're just a little bit short.
All right. Okay. Well, that would be going back to free cash when we turn that in. The old article. The Scott air tanks were 60,000. You might as well stay here because you can. We really have two options, and I am recommending that we take the longer term view on this. We could replace those needing replacement for 22,000, but they would only have a technological life of approximately 3 years. Whereas if we spend the 60 to replace half, they will be good for
15 years.
Yeah, 15. So you could spend the 22 and just have to respend that in 3 years. The other thing is, as talking with the chief, working with other departments could create a problem because they will have different parameters for their gear than we would have for ours. So site management on an incident would be difficult. So I think from a safety of our firefighters, as well as, in my mind, economic sense, we should go with the larger number.
So these are the tanks that the firefighters need to wear if they got to go into a burning building or something like that?
Correct. They're air tank made by Scott Manufacturing, Scott Industries, I think. So what the problem is our current tanks are over 12 years old. Our current air systems are over 12 years old. A lot of the tanks are getting close to 15 years. So in this next fiscal year, 18 of our 30 tanks are going to age out. They're no longer allowed to be used. So we have to replace 18 tanks. So we can spend $22,000, replace it with the existing tanks we have, and the tanks will last 15 years, but our air packs are over, are 12 years old or more. Problem is that the new standard, the NFPA standard, says that you need more air and more escape time to get out of buildings. So everybody else in the area is going to higher pressure tanks that last longer and meet the new standard. So if we stick with the old tanks, one, very shortly they're going to stop being supported, and two, where our firefighters are going to be, not have the same escape time to get out of the building as the other firefighters. So we're not going to have as much work time or as much escape time. So, and we don't meet the NFPA standard. So I guess the two choices are, we can go short term, spend $22,000, throw them out in a year or two, and then spend the, we're going to need a total of $120,000 to replace everything. So our proposal was spend 60 now, replace the 18 bottles and half the packs, six of the packs, and then the older bottles will still be good for another year, and then next year we go for another 60 and replace the rest of them.
So they're only going to be good for another year, so we're looking at this as a two-year.
It's a two-year process. I mean, I asking for 120 at once didn't seem reasonable. We have to replace 18 packs. It's more reasonable to spend the 60 now for something that's going to be good for 15 years rather than 22 for something that's going to be good for a year or two.
Is having, for 1 year, having two different types of packs, is that going to be any kind of a safety issue? I mean, to heat it over fire? I mean, it's night, it's dark.
It's going to be something we're going to think about and be cognizant of. We're going to have to, you know, realize that. But our first new truck out is going to have all one type of air pack on it. The secondary truck with the recall personnel will have a different pack on it that they won't last as long. So it'll be something we're going to focus on and be concentrated on. But I think the financial, reasonable financial option is to split this up over 2 years, and I think we can tolerate that.
Finally, there's a pickup truck that is a straight replacement.
We've got an F-250 pickup truck that's, I don't know the paperwork, I think it's about 15 years old. And we've also got a Ford Explorer that's about the same age. So we've got two older vehicles. We're proposing to replace them with a single new Chevy pickup truck, 3/4 ton with a plow.
So are you going to keep the brush breaker or...
We haven't quite figured out this point in time. We're working with some of the local departments to figure out what the best options are. I mean, like I said before, it's more of a regional resource. We're talking to Comfire about sharing it somehow. We haven't come up with a solution for that, but the pickup truck we have needs replacement, and that old Explorer we have barely functions anymore. So this solves half our problem, and we'll figure the other half out over the next year. At the same time, we're proposing to sell the existing pickup, the Explorer, and the boat, and those total funds should be about $30,000, which will go back to general funds.
Any progress on the radios or for the new boat?
I had a conversation with David Mugar this afternoon. He's going to call back tomorrow to have a more in-depth conversation, but he said he would very much like to help us outfit the new boat.
Terrific.
So if we get the boat for free, we'll probably have it outfitted for free.
Nice. Super. That's great. Anything else for fire?
Not for me.
So okay. They're going up almost 13%. Then. Is that right? Fire?
They're good. Well, if you look at...
That includes the error.
That includes the error. Right. If you look at the overall department, except not the articles, but just the wages and operations, it's only going up like 1.14%.
Is that the bottom line, total fire department funding, or just the wages?
That would be the total FY budget if you included the articles. That's going up 12%. Okay. Turning to the water department, I'll skip over the wages. I think someone's going to be speaking to that, so I'll skip that and we can come back to that. Or
do you want to go ahead with the wages?
Can I give him my mic to?
Why don't you just move the thing over?
Oh, this is the PowerPoint. Yeah. I know you emailed it out, but I didn't have a chance to print it yet. Thank you.
Okay.
So I'm Don Campbell, chairperson of the Water Department, Water Board of Commissioners. And we had a regular meeting. We invited the Prudential Committee to come to our meeting to go over the wage adjustment that we're proposing for this year. We went through the rationale for it. We provided a presentation for our comparisons with other departments. And during the course of the meeting, there seemed like there was one or two decisions to make, whether or not we wanted to go with a one-year increase to get it all done at once or to separate it over a couple years. In our discussion later on in the meeting, it was decided by the board that we wanted to go forward with this wage adjustment proposal, bring it to the floor of the district meeting, have it done all at once. In our figures that we looked at here, with the increase all at once, the operational budget, including salaries, was going to be an increase of 3.74%. I don't know how that affects how the insurance and health costs are going to figure into that, but I know it's going to add to the cost. We are keenly aware of the money that we're asking the district to pay. We also feel like we've made great strides in trying to save the district money with a $500,000 grant last year. This year, we've taken advantage of the Cape and Vineyard Electrical Cooperative. We received in the first 9 months $12,800 in savings from our electrical use. The cell tower, to be honest, starting next fiscal year, is going to be a significantly lower income. Probably from over $100,000 to around the $40,000 range. So I don't want to, you know, paint a picture that everything is going good, because there is a reality here. In talking to our superintendent, he was very clear with the losses of employees in the past that we had to pay upwards to $5,000 an employee to get certified and trained and all that stuff. That each time that someone would leave, it was a total loss. We firmly believe that if we could get our employees to a position where they would want to stay, for money at least, with us, we would be cutting out a lot of that renewing cost with hiring new people. We have had five people leave us over the last 6 or 7 years, three of them for money. And I know that it's hard to compare one department to another because of the size and the scope and all that stuff to work. But when someone's looking to pay their bills and take care of their family, they look at what the bottom line is and what they make for money. So we were trying to get somewhere in the middle range there, have a mean so we can say that we're doing the best we can for them and keep our employees with us. So we've decided we're going to go forward with this and bring it to the district, the floor of the district meeting, and should be interesting.
So over the last 5 years, we've lost how many people?
In the last 6 or 7 years, we lost a total of five people. One person was dismissed. One person just said, I want a different career. And three of them left because they found other places to work on the Cape for more money.
That's over 5 years. That's roughly $5,000 a year in actually costs and in retraining. That just is how much it costs to have them sit in a class or whatever. Right?
Well, there's certifications they have to have.
Yeah.
They require them going to school. Sometimes the school is off Cape, so there's transportation, there's time, overtime for that stuff, and all the costs of the testing and everything. If they don't pass the test the first time, the next one is on them. But we pay for the first one.
So from day zero, the time somebody walks in the door, till the time you can say, hey, Joe, go out to station number three and fix this problem, and by themselves, without having somebody look over their shoulders like OJT, how long is, what's that training? It's a training, on-the-job training period.
On-the-job training is, I don't know how to give it an end, you know, period where they're fully trained. We do have part of the process we went through in determining this cost, one time of wage adjustment, was developing job descriptions and evaluation forms, which developed levels of expertise, per se, four levels in each of the different areas, the operators, which included attaining, the first level was obtaining their certifications, a couple years on the experience in the job of having good reviews and everything and being positive before they go to the second level. So it's going to take a couple years. And even now, there was an incident in one of our storms here where there was a question of one of the generators, whether or not it was the reading, the newer operator didn't understand the reading of the generator correctly, which caused an overflow in one of our tanks. And it's just one of those things that hardly ever happens, but because he didn't have the experience and didn't realize that there was an issue with that, it was a little bump in the road there.
So would it be fair to say that really somebody would need to be on the job for, let's say, 18 months, 2 years, before you could really have a lot of confidence in them going out and doing something like that on their own?
Well, for Chris to feel comfortable giving someone an assignment, and this is what happens with any kind of training with any job. You get trained to a certain level so that whoever's in charge can give someone an order to go out and do a job and feel comfortable they can accomplish it. Above that level of training, every new step that has to go on, the superintendent in this case has to make sure they're trained, or the senior operator has to make sure they're trained in these areas that are outside the scope of the certification. There's a lot, you know, the generators, all the pumps, all the plumbing, and all that stuff. It's one of those things that you have to, it's a hands-on experience thing.
3 years, 5 years, 4 years, two?
Well, yeah, three years is what the superintendent was saying.
So in other words, that's really a hidden cost that you really, I mean, you're paying the person the salary, but for 2 to 3 years, I know they're kind of each month, each 6 months, each year, they're kind of learning more and more, but until they're fully trained, it's two to three years.
To a certain standard, yes.
So some part of their salary is really part of on-the-job training. You're not getting that particular value out of that person for that period of time.
As with any job.
Yeah. Help me out here, okay?
You know? I am.
I think at this last meeting, Chris was saying, you know, our two newest employees are both on the job about 3 years, and they didn't know about
the overflow,
the generator reading, because they just, you know, didn't have that experience. They didn't have that knowledge. So I'd say over 3 years to get them up to par.
So there's a certain amount of book learning, training, but then the rest is, hey, you go out to site number one, and they got to know that site. It's dark, it's night, they have to get in there. Maybe the power's not on because had a power failure, generator didn't start. I'm looking at the worst possible
situation. It's all hands-on experience.
Okay, I mean, so you got to know that.
Yeah.
And that's roughly 3 years.
That's a good benchmark, and that's one of the benchmarks we had when we developed the levels of training, the training levels, which had a pay level equivalent to it.
Okay. Thank you.
And as I just reminded that their D2 license is just getting now after 3 years of being on the job. So it's a lengthy process.
Right. How's that stand? Of the employees that you had mentioned that five employees have left, three left for higher paying positions elsewhere, in what position were they?
They were operators.
All three were operators?
Yeah.
So I just so when next year when you come, are we going to be able to keep the increases under 2.5?
All right. Again,
salary increases.
To be absolutely clear with you, once the wage adjustment is in place, each year there'll be an evaluation and looking at if there's a cost of living increase available like that. it's going to be more of a, instead of an automatically 3% like we were doing for all that time,
mm-hmm.
that was became unacceptable, it will be more of a what the guideline is through the county, I believe it is.
For what the,
through who?
Who is it determines the cost of living?
The federal government.
Federal government, okay.
Yeah.
So
okay.
effectively, you're going to give them raises in the future based on performance, not just on a step.
Well, with cost of living, yes. We have, if they're going to establish a certain mean, they should try to be nice to have them stay in that mean. Instead of one big jump, a lot of big jumps for, over a period of time, one big jump and then try to maintain that.
Okay, thanks.
I just draw everyone's attention to down at the bottom of the page. What I've done here is try to put together a an operating statement for the water department. And you pick up the operations cost, an allocation based on historical numbers of employee OPED cost, an administrative allocation of 40%, which is reasonable in terms of the workload. Payroll would favor the fire department. My debt activities tend to favor the water department. So 40% seems a reasonable allocation. Insurance cost, allocating that, and the debt cost, all the debt cost is water department. And then offsetting that by the estimated revenue, you come up with what is in essence a deficit. And that deficit is funded by the taxpayers. And I guess my observation or my question would be that it would appear that 70% of our water delivery system is for fire suppression. And I can't believe that that's right. Now, I know that you're doing a cost of service study, which will address these questions, and it will give us some guidance on rate increases. But I mean, this to me says that if we're behind on wages, we're woefully behind on water rates.
I agree with you, Ray, and that's one of the things that we're in the process, as you know. We were looking at a rate increase for this year, but when the article passed last year through Prudential to have a study on that we're in the process of doing now, we put that on hold to get all this information in. We're looking at a rate increase. We want to have that rate increase include the operational budget, the health insurance, the retirement. Pretty much everything that's the water department related, with the exception of capital expenses. At least to start with. With the exception of capital expenses.
You're going to exclude, you're a capital intensive operation and you're going to exclude capital cost?
We've talked about this a number of times. The capital expenses, if we decide we want to build a $2 million water tank, and a large expense, and the rates be going up, and going up like the market there.
No, you don't include the amount that you're going to borrow to put in the plant.
What the debt service
is
every
year. You amortize that capital over a period of time, like any other economic enterprise.
So this year, when we go for the money for the security system, is that over a period of time? Is it over 1 year?
Well, that's what I have in debt service.
Yeah.
That you would pay that amortization over time.
What I'm looking for is a more of a steadier rate that people can expect to pay when they budget their stuff.
Right. And that is predicated on an amortization schedule for the $2.5 million of long-term debt we have. It's an established amortization schedule. When we enter into the $500,000 and the $470,000, another $1 million of debt, will set up an amortization schedule for that as well.
Wasn't the amortization come under the Prudential Committee, the finances? rather than under the department itself that incurred the capital expenditure?
That's a convenience. OPEB comes under, we consolidate OPEB, we consolidate debt just so it's easy for people like me to find those figures and account for them. But their costs, I mean, those are water department costs. If we didn't have a water department, we wouldn't have those costs. If we didn't have the fire department, our OPEB costs would be substantially less. So those are costs that are attributable to, are due to, those operating departments.
I understand your logic, but in fact, as far as a precedent is concerned, that hasn't, the amortization of a fire truck or a tank hasn't been debited back to the department that incurred it, the water department for the tank, or the, it's been part of the finance.
No, it's part of the fund. I mean, what I've created here is a pro forma statement, operating statement for that department. You could do the same thing with the fire department.
Okay, I understand.
So just to be clear, the normal standard practice through the water departments that I've talked to in the Cape is having about a 50-50 input for water rates and tax base to cover the cost of the departments. Right now we're upside down. We're more taxes than we are water. We want to change it so we're going to pay more, get cover more of our expenses through water rates, which the people in the district have already said they're more than willing to do. Because there was 100 of them in this room right here this last year at a meeting about something else that they said, please increase our water rates. We don't want to go through what we were going through to make $75,000 a year to help with the cost of a water department.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking to raise the water rates. And the people have already said that they support that. And we're looking to, at least to start with, cover what with the known things we can pretty much predict. The operational costs, the health insurance, the retirement, stuff like that, all those kind of things that can be budgeted and look forward to and see how the natural progression. And if we find out that we can do more, then we'll do more.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Turning to the public buildings, what I've incorporated in here is basically a 2.5% cost of living adjustment for the maintenance individual, and then adjusted for running rates in the other areas. Nothing particularly, the percentages look big, but we're talking about probably less than $500 in total of increases. Streetlights are a similar exercise that we're level funding that. Our operating costs have been well within with budget, and we anticipate that going forward unless we run into a lot of replacements, which hopefully we won't.
What page you on now?
Did we lose any, do we know, in the recent storms?
I'm sorry, I should be telling you pages. I've moved
page 10.
9 was public buildings, and now I've moved to page 10, streetlights.
So, no, we did the only, we've only replaced one light that was out in the coves. And we haven't been billed for that yet. It was the pole fell down or something, and the electric people replaced the pole and left the light there,
right,
and the light walked.
Okay. Did any of the poles that went down, well, there were a couple of poles that went down on Grove Street, did any of those have lights on them?
No, they wouldn't have had lights on them. They were only at intersections.
That one time where they tell it where the light went away with the pole or something, did you ever find that?
As far as I know, the light people are still looking for that. But in speaking with other districts and towns about the same thing happening to them, pretty much once those lights disappear, they're gone forever.
Yikes.
Turning to page 11. The library, when I prepared this, I did not have their letter, which we now have in hand. I put in a 2.5% placeholder increase. They're actually asking for 4%, which would be a $300 increase over what I have provided here. So it's up, we'll reflect that in the next version to see what you folks decide to do about that.
I'd like to keep it at the 2.5% that we did the last time.
Okay.
I would disagree with that. I would like to see for the extra, what is it, $300?
$300.
It goes to the library, and the library is really an essential part of the community. In many ways, it's the heart of the community. It performs a great many functions, and I'd like to see them supported at the level that they're asking for, because it's not a great increase.
No, it's not, but we really haven't got any documentation as to why they want it increased. I'd really like to see that, you know. And we also, I believe last year, asked for them to document how they use the money, and we haven't seen that yet either. So.
Last year we gave 2.53%, and I know it's only negligible, the difference, but how did we come up with the 2.53% last year? Is that what they asked
that's
for?
That's what they asked for.
And if memory serves, the year before, was there a citizen's petition to increase?
I don't believe so.
Because the year before we were 3.82. I'm just trying to understand the history of it.
I think that's up.
Fiscal 17 went from 16, 2.98, 3.82, 2.53.
They didn't raise it at the annual meeting. I don't recall.
They can't do that at the annual meeting.
I thought there was a way for them to do that, but it could only be by a certain percent.
No. They did that for a while, but we found out that was not legal.
Okay, yeah, okay. Right. So at least my memory isn't completely wrong.
They did do it for a while, but that was not legal. They found out that they couldn't do that. For 300 bucks, you know, I'll throw in 100. Can you throw in 100?
But it's just like, it's like creep. You know, it's like constant creep. And you know, I know you're familiar with how the library does its budget, and I'm also familiar with how the library does its budget. They're going to be getting another hefty chunk from Kirkman this year. If that's the majority, that's fine, but I'm just saying that I'd like to see the real budget of the library before I agree to this and what they're taking out of their endowment and,
when was that? They were taking 60. They were budgeting up to $60,000 out of the endowment, which was aggressive because that would be 6%. And from a financial planning point of view, if you want to make an endowment last forever, you should not pull out any more than 3%. If you wanted to be aggressive, you could pull out 5%, and then, depending upon what the market does, the endowment may or may not last forever. So, they're doing their job, okay? And I know that the Friends of the Library does a lot of work. They donate to the library. And there's some people in town that have also been generous with the library. And that all of that indicates that the people in town are working for the library. And I don't see a problem with 4%. And, if there was a big issue and they were asking for 10% raise, I said, whoa, now we need to really examine their budget. But for an extra $300, I just don't see, I don't see not improving it. In other words, on a positive, I do see it improving, approving it.
Well, I agree with Stan that the library has definitely somewhat revitalized itself. It seems to be trying to put itself out there a lot more in the past recent years. And I'm sorry to keep revisiting not so ancient history, but the 3.82% that they asked for in fiscal 17, that maybe the Prudential Committee supported or not, was there a basis for that? Does anybody remember? it's just kind of an arbitrary number? Or?
I think there was just a larger jump. I don't really remember. I'd have to look back at the minutes.
So I would put forth a motion that we approve an increase for the library of 4%.
Could I suggest that the commissioners wait until we do the roll-up and you look at the overall budget? Mm-hmm. I'm going through the detail, and then we'll go back and we'll look at the overall impact.
We have a $5 or $6 million budget. $300 is going to be like a roach dropping.
It's up to you, folks.
I think there are some other things that we needed to vote on as to whether or not to support. Well,
I think we can wait because we're going to be discussing the budget.
Well, I put a motion out there. Does anybody want to second it? If we don't second it, then we just drop it and go on.
Can I just clarify, just because, again, this is my first budget, it looked to me like there were other line items in here that that were looking for either support or non-support from the Prudential Committee. Mm-hmm. So I assume that at our next budget review, we'll be looking at each of those line items, including the library?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm okay.
The next area is our debt service. And I want to make a couple of points about this. Number one, this is the amortization that we have for our existing debt. It does not and would not include any debt service for the debt that we incur this year. That would be encountered in F20, fiscal 20. So this is the amortization of the current debt. The water tank bond, $1.5 million, has an amortization schedule of $100,000. The USDA loan for the tank, et cetera, has a $52,000 amortization. The interest on the current water tank is $48,000, and on the USDA loan, is $43,000. I've also included the amortization or the payment of the $179,000 for the new loan that we just entered into this year, and I anticipate that will have carry a cost of about $3,400. And we always make an abatement provision of $50. We've never spent it in the past. Don't anticipate spending it, but it is a placeholder. Any questions?
Which is the placeholder? I was scanning for a minute. Just talk about the placeholder again.
$50.
The $50.
$50.
Yeah. The next area is employee benefits. And we didn't get the detail in time. I put C detail, but it's not available. We just got the rates, and we have to, in fact, people still will make elections. So if I gave you detail, it would have been presuming what elections people would make. So I decided that I wouldn't bother preparing that at this time. We're pulling the data together, but it's predicated on choices that people can make during the open enrollment period, and people can change from one policy to the other, which would affect that. But overall, that the we voted at the Cape Cod Municipal Health Group to increase overall rates 6%, and that's what I've reflected here for health, life, and dental. And that, again, I said, is assuming that no one changes plans, etc. The next line is the important one, and that's the transfer to the OPED trust. We anticipate about $148,000 transfer from the trust to the general fund to pay for current retiree costs. Normally, what has been done in the past is that we match that and make that the contribution to the OPED trust, which would mean approximately $300,000 as it was last year. I've increased that amount because this year we have in hand the actuarial study of the liability from OPEB, which is $2.9 million as we stand today.
That's gratuitous.
That's gratuitous liability for existing post-retirement benefits. We have set aside $351,000 towards that liability. So we have, in essence, an unfunded liability of $2,562,000. That liability is anticipated to grow approximately 6.36% over the next years. So in order to amortize that, I have increased the contribution that the general fund would make from the normal $150,000 to $225,000 to accommodate the first start of amortizing that future liability.
And how many years do we need? We would need to do the, assuming the figures stay the same each year, which they won't. But what's the year?
It's a track of about 40 years, which I think is too long. But this is the first year we've seen it. I think that the taxpayers will have to see it to absorb what this cost is going forward, and then we'll have to start ratcheting up that contribution. I think you ought to be looking at something like a 30-year amortization, not a 40-year.
What's the norm? Do we know what other towns with similar situation are? But what's the norm? What are they amortizing at?
This is the first year that this liability has been established, so there is no norm. I imagine you'll find people who will ignore it. Some towns may ignore it. But
we haven't ignored it. What was the previous treasurer's name?
Mike Daly.
I mean, and so I remember him saying, okay, we would match it, okay.
Well, he was very wise to do that. I mean, that was very, very judicious on his part to get you on that path.
Right.
Now when we now have the information, which he did not have.
Yeah, at that time,
You've got to ratchet that up.
Yeah.
In order to meet the future obligation, so you're not facing at some point a horrendous bill to the taxpayer. The last one is the page 14 is the stabilization fund, and I budgeted $25,000 towards this. This is the rainy day fund. It's down to about $60,000 after we used it for the purchase of the fire engine 2 years ago. So it's time to build that back up. I'm now going to go back to page one where we kind of bring all this together and talk about how we're going to pay for all this. So back on page one, I summarized the reserve fund, the operating budget for the finance department. There's an old bill of $560 that got missed in the encumbrances in F-16 that we've discovered, and it will have to be paid, so I've made a provision for a special article to pay that. It's a Siemens bill. We just came out of the woodwork in the fall.
Is that the Cape Cod Hospital bill, or...?
No, it's a Siemens bill.
Siemens bill. Oh, okay.
Now, we'll investigate it before we pay it, but it's obviously sitting there. They're claiming it, so I have to make a provision for it.
Okay.
Siemens, the people that service the lights.
Yes.
Okay. Just, if you could just take a second, explain in it what you mean by encumbrances. I've been signing the stuffs on the ledger and the warrants and stuff. So I look at the numbers that
What is an encumbrance?
Yeah, what is it?
Encumbrance is the municipal accounting's way to address the need to accrue expenses at the end of the year. The normal world, you accrue those expenses, but in the municipal world, we have a legal device called encumbrance. So we encumber funds that relate to the current year, even though we're going to pay them in a future year.
Okay. Thank you. With you.
In the fire department, the operating budget is $1.9 million, shows a 4.67%, but again, if we hadn't, if we didn't have that error, it would be like a 1% increase. The big story here are all the articles for the capital needs of that department, and I'm showing it as debt or free cash. And I've talked with the clerk, and we're going to suggest that we frame the articles to be passed that will give me the flexibility to pay either with debt or free cash, so that I can limit the amount of debt or make the debt rational. The water department has presented a 3.4%, $644,000 budget. They have the need for a truck and a water system security. I will address those needs by debt. I'm suggesting, again, with your permission, I'll address those with debt. I'm suggesting that the balance be raised and appropriate. The public buildings, I'm suggesting we make all raise and appropriate. Library services, free cash. The principal and interest should be raised and appropriate. And the OPED, I'm suggesting a mix of using some free cash to soften that increase. And it makes sense. Free cash is a buildup of our prior surpluses to use for something that we should have been paying in the past. So that kind of makes sense. When you add it all up, it unfortunately looks like we are proposing an 8.1% increase in the tax rates for next year. That would mean a tax rate of 2.45 per thousand, up from the 2.27. You have to go back to 2015, the last time we've had an increase of that size.
Can you give us, will you be able to give the people at the district meeting, like for a house of $350,000, that'll mean how much of an increase? You know, in the newspaper.
Yes, yeah, mean, right. Well, it'll be 2.25. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so in other words,
yes, I would be.
If they're paying $5,200 now, they'll be paying $5,400 next year. So.
Is the average house $300,000 in Katuit? I don't think so.
Well, that's what they use in the newspapers, the $300,000 or $350,000.
I think we probably ought to have the average price of the house so it's more meaningful.
Probably somewhere between $350,000 and $400,000.
But it's north of. I bet it's north.
Yeah, but it's not. It may be not. It may not be.
Well, the average, yeah.
It may not be a realistic number of 350,000. However, that's what
they can do. They can do the math.
That's what they
say. They can do the math. Fine. I'll use 350.
They can. Those 3.5 million people can just multiply.
If they can buy that house, they can do the math.
Right. Really
anyway, that's where we stand right now. I've tried to identify those things that, well, obviously the whole budget is for your approval, but that's where we stand now. Any suggestions on changes, improvements?
I do have one question. That mystery Cape Cod Hospital bill that showed up, remember where they sent us a bill from 2014 or 15?
I'm not aware of that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it got cleared up.
Was this what the fire department got a bill? Because I know the fire department cleared up a bill that came in late.
Like years late?
It was like that Siemens bill, but they handled it themselves.
Oh, okay. All right.
How much do we we have in cash reserve?
In free cash? Or in cash reserves?
Free cash is the cash that's left over at the end of the year. Cash reserves is the free cash then goes into cash reserves, right? And it has to be certified?
Yeah, it has to be certified. I do not have free cash certified yet.
Okay, what was the last?
The last free cash certified was $733,000. We've used approximately $400,000 of that. I anticipate we'll be back in that same realm of certified free cash, somewhere close to $700,000.
I'm wondering, should we, you know, in 1 year, a couple of years ago, Fran, you might remember the year, where they used free cash to help offset the tax base.
That was done, routinely done, for years. And what we've tried to do is to get away from doing that.
It's not considered best practice in municipals. DOR would probably question me if I did that.
I can understand that if we had 100,000, we were asking to take 50,000 out of it. We have 700,000. And if you take 100 or 200 out of it, are you going to need that? What's the worst possible case? We have a hurricane and this building gets blown down. It's insured anyway, mostly, so you might have $100,000-$200,000 liability. I'm just trying to say, what's realistic?
Well, I am using free cash. I am suggesting we use free cash to offset the OPED increase.
Yeah.
So I am using some of that for operations.
Okay.
I'm just kind of doing it in the back door so it's not blatantly obvious.
So the next item is the prudential budget. And what I was referencing to this is, I know Stan's concerned about this floor.
Yeah, look at it.
So I've had one person look at the floor, and their bid to put in the new floor was $25,000 to $27,000. That did not include removing this floor, which is probably at least $10,000. The other thing that I think needs to be done is we never replaced the ceiling down in the basement because we didn't think we were going to need to, and it was just easier access for all of the wires, especially when we just had our mouse problem and had to have wires replaced. But with all the dancing going on up here, the Boy Scouts are being constantly snowed upon by, this is a very unique floor. There's this floor under here, and if you go downstairs and look, the subfloor to this floor is lath and plaster. And there's a gap in between the two floors. And so that plaster is trickling down on the Boy Scouts every time the contra dancers are here or the tango dancers are here. Because we're a public building, we have to put a commercial grade ceiling in. So the last estimate that I had for that, which was several years ago, was $10,000. So I'm sure it's more than that. But considering all the other expenses that the district is going to be involved in this year, I have trouble asking for more money.
Well, that could be something we could use free cash for.
Okay.
What about refinishing the floor?
No, can't. It can't be sanded any further.
Look down, you see a lot of shiny things sticking up.
Nail heads. Yeah. So, I mean, this is an 1860 floor. It doesn't owe us anything. I mean, everybody's gotten their money out of this floor. And I think it, needs to be replaced with another hard maple floor that will last for another 100 plus years.
Suppose you make it a separate item on the warrant and let the people decide whether they want to do it or not.
We can do that.
Yeah, make it an article.
Yeah, make it an article and make the ceiling an article.
Yeah.
Again, it's as you said, it's being used a lot by any number of groups, including outside people that want to have weddings and other functions here. So looking at the floor, it's getting to look pretty ratty. And it is, it's way past end of life.
Yeah, it passed away some time ago. So, the space needs study, has that been, have we gone out with that, or?
We haven't done anything with that.
Oh, okay.
We don't know what to do with that. That was my, I think my last question to the board was, we have to advertise in the Central Register, and then also locally.
Right.
And I was having a hard time finding any guidance as to how long was that a one-time, when you have to publish locally, is it one day?
Check.
Does it have to?
So could any of the procurement experts assist us with that in the audience? And just please introduce yourself.
Sylvia Janelle, 227 Eisenhower Drive. For advertisement requirements, you have to advertise for 2 weeks in the Central Register, in 2 weeks in local newspaper, and in billboard or bulletin board within a building in the district.
Okay, so we can put it out here.
Correct.
So do we have to tell me what we need to do? I could get a price for that, but we're going to have to approve. Based on the cost of advertising for our assistant treasurer position.
So if we, does it have to be 2 weeks daily? Or if we did it twice in the Barnstable Patriot?
Which only comes out once a
week.
Yes, I would have to double check, but I would say that as long as you advertise it in two reoccurring periods, being the, you know, once, twice, I mean,
okay.
Once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
As long as it's in the same
publication. Correct.
And how often they do it.
Okay. Yeah, but I will double check on that. Yeah. I know the total period has to be 2 weeks in the Central Register, in a newspaper, and then in a local bulletin board.
Is there a fee for the Central Register?
There is, but I can't remember off the top of my head what it is.
Are you familiar with putting stuff in the Central Register? Chuck?
It's easy enough. I mean, I think the Attorney General's office is the one that controls the Central Register.
Mm-hmm.
There's a website online you can sign up for, so they just give you a login. You give them the information. It's almost like a bulletin board, but a digital bulletin board is a website. And then everything that has to do with design and construction gets advertised there. And anything that has to do with supplies and services goes to another bulletin board called the Goods and Services, which is run by the Inspector General's office. So it all depends on what you're doing as well. So you may want to check into getting a subscription for both of them. I don't think it's that much either per year. I don't want to put out a number, but it's not that much.
So we should check with the AG's office, though, to make sure that putting it in the Barnstable Patriot, which comes out only weekly,
correct,
is okay, is acceptable.
Correct.
Assuming it's not and it has to be in a daily publication, I'm just asking, well, logistics, we have to come back and get a quote for that and approve that, I would imagine, because it would. What was the cost for the week?
800? No, more than that. It was like 16.
Yeah. It was costly. Cape Cod Times is.
It lists paper all the time.
Yeah.
Well, how much? I mean, suppose it comes in at $3,500 for 2 weeks in the Cape Cod Times. Is that something we can just approve? It's less than $25,000, right? Doesn't it come out under 30B or something like that?
But it'd be part of the article.
It would have to be approved,
yeah,
as an article, or?
Yeah, so I mean, you would approve the expenditure, but the expenditure would be reducing that article. So you start off with $25,000, you now have 20.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's a business expense. If it's what we got to do.
It's a business expense.
So we have $25,000.
So we could tonight decide that if we determine that it has to be in a daily publication, we will approve the expenditure of obviously the cost of the Cape Cod Times, because it's our only daily publication.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So we won't have to come back to that.
Right.
So do we need to make a motion to appropriate that money as out of that $25,000 account, or?
No, that's an approved article. All you would have to do is approve the warrant when the
when it comes up.
When it comes due.
To sign it.
Yeah, that or it's a thing we sign it, and it, right. Okay.
So I'll do my best to look into that tomorrow, yeah. As to what the publication requirements are, and let you folks know, because if we can just do that, we can get it out. I'll sign up.
Well, I mean, I just give you authority. I mean, if it's going to cost $3,500, if they need to do it daily for 2 weeks.
It is what it is.
You got to do it. Yeah. Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
I also wanted to clear something up. What I gave you was the information for construction projects, but if this is a design advertisement, then it only needs to go for 2 weeks on a paper, on a newspaper, and 2 weeks in the Central Register. Okay. I don't think there's any local posting requirements.
There's no bulletin board.
And again, that's an excellent question to make to the AG if you have to, you know, have it in the newspaper for every day for 2 weeks, because the actual requirement says has to be posted for 2 weeks prior to when you're going to open the solicitations. So it could be that it's only just once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
2 weeks prior.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that may save you some funds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And I assume if we have to create an account with the AG's office for the Central Register, I'll just find out what information we need. I'm not going to have all that information.
Yeah,
open a personal account. All right.
So next is the LaPointe's, the house that's in between us and the lodge there. They're on their last steps. And so I've been having some discussions with Mr. Cataldo, who's the contractor. And, you know, he said the LaPointe's would like to do something for us. For tromping over our parking lot.
Good, we need a new floor.
I don't think they want to give us a new floor. So, love to have that. So one of the things I thought of was in this old picture, you can see these posts.
Yeah.
So there were posts all along this building.
For your horses?
I guess, tying up your horse, I have no idea. But I thought it would be nice to replace those posts to one, keep people off the grass, and two, when winter rolls around, we won't be paying our snowplow people $95 to stick a bunch of posts in the ground. So I've asked him to look into doing those posts for us.
And those are just wooden posts?
Wooden posts, yeah, they'd be pressure treated.
Okay. See how long they stay.
How about granite?
I was going to say granite would be great. They'd be much more permanent.
Yes, old wood, got to paint it, it rots.
Yeah,
what was the cost of that project?
Who knows? $1 zillion. So, so I'm going to hold off on the minutes because Lisa hasn't.
I read the minutes.
Oh, okay. Right. A whole bunch of different people.
What's the?
Oh, here we go. So the minutes. So the minutes of the 8th, did you see these?
Yeah, I saw it, but yeah, I did, right.
Okay.
I did see
so
that.
I wasn't at that meeting, so I need the two of you to approve them.
Okay, so I make a motion that we approve the minutes of the meeting of 8 March.
A second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Okay. The next was March 16th. Where it was myself, Lisa, and Ray. This was to make the offer to Patricia Casey, who declined it. So I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of March 16th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Just to make a note, I abstained because I wasn't here.
Yeah. And the last is the February 27th meeting. Did you see these?
No, those I did not see.
Okay, we can hold off on this, and we'll do it next time.
Thank you.
So, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.